not that we're constantly changing the targets, but we're adapting to the reality that's in front of us and making sure that we understand that so that we're making better decisions. We're not making decisions based upon an old, maybe outdated budget. We're making decisions based upon the data that we know and what we can see as our roadmap. So in terms of planning ahead, there is one time of year that you're more heavily focused on, like, what does next year or next 2 years look like? But for us, we also want to make sure that we're reviewing the reality of that on a monthly and quarterly basis so we can make adjustments. What can happen a lot of times is say, no, the list was in my budget. It's like, yeah, but things change. So you should probably do things so that you don't run off the cliff.
What if you could step out of the day-to-day and see your business from a whole new perspective? Welcome to Above the Business, where we empower you to rise above the daily grind and embrace a higher way of business ownership. Get ready to build your business by design.
Welcome to another episode of the Above the Business podcast. My name is Bradley Hamner, your host. On today's episode, we have a very common repeat guest, Mr. Micah Cannon. But we bring Micah on to talk about what is the blueprint that they followed with Club Capital to grow and scale their own company? A few things we talk about. One, what was the key hire that Micah made to remove himself, begin to replace himself in the business? Number two, what is the cadence that he and the leadership team meet and that has really been one of the keys to their success over the years? We talk about those two things and a lot more. I think you're going to get a lot of out of this episode. And what was the blueprint that they followed, and maybe learn some things that can help you in creating a blueprint to be able to grow your business as well. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Micah Cannon.
Ambition is the first step towards success. It's time to level up your agency. And Coach P Consulting will help you do just that by using the same strategies he used to sell over 700 life insurance policies in 2021 alone. Now, this is not your regular one and done type coaching. You'll get personalized coaching 2 days a week, every week of the month, and you'll get a live look behind the scenes of his team training and an office that's performing at the highest level. There's a reason Coach P Consulting is the fastest growing coaching company for insurance agency owners in the country. Coach P will train your team alongside his own and show you the exact steps they're taking to achieve Chairman Circle, Exotic Travel, and Multi-Line Presence Club, and be one of the few agents to be selected to have a third office. So whether your goal is to be at the top of your local market or amongst the best in the country, this training will give you the strategies and the tactics to get there. For just $250 a month, you'll get high-level coaching each week from someone who is already getting it done at that level, and his strategies work, and it's time to put them to work for you. Sign up at coachpconsulting.com and get your first full month for free when you mention the Club Capital Leadership Podcast.
Micah, welcome back to the Above the Business Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. Excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Great to have you. So we're not going to do background and origin story. You've come on the podcast many times with that. As we kind of begin to wrap up 2025, which is crazy to think, the podcast has been around 6 years. One of the things we've not brought on to talk about is Club Capital's had tremendous success over the last 6, 7, 8 years or so in growing its own business. And you know, one of the things we really like to now portray is real deal business owners, founders that have been able to use a blueprint to scale their business. As you look back over the last few years in the growth and scale of Club Capital, what were some of the things that you reflect back on that really led to the success that you guys have had in growing your own business?
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. So we're entering 2026. It's December 2025. We're actually hitting the 10-year mark that we formed Club Capital, which is wild now. I feel like there was a couple times that there was a couple years in a row that I feel like we quote unquote started, because we were very much a startup from the sense of, all right, we've got an idea. Let's like first step is let's like form a company, I guess. Let's like actually put it on paper, which is what we did in 2015, like end of 2015 is when we formed the company. But 2016 ended up being the, hey, we're still working side jobs and we're trying to get this off the ground. Like, are we really going to do this? Are we really going to kind of start a company? And we did. And then 2017 was actually when I like left my other company that I was at and started. So it was like, it was a slow, and I just say that from the sense of, you know, a lot of times people look at where you are today and think, oh man, look at what they've done. It's been easy, right? And you look back and you're like, man, been 10 years since we kind of like thought about this. It took a couple of years just to even like actually make it our full-time gig, let alone all the things that you learn along the way, mistakes you make along the way, things that go well, things that go down. I mean, it's definitely not that linear from here to there, up and to the right as you want it to be. But I can't believe we're going to be ultimately closing in on 10 years soon. In terms of the blueprint, I will say there's definitely been some models that we've used along the way. It's not been a just shoot from the hip. And I say that especially because one of the things that I've definitely learned to cherish is the fact that I have business partners. So what I've learned in this business too is that a lot of people don't. And I really look at that as something that's really helped us along the way, because you have those other people that are really keeping you in check, because it's really easy as what you start off as owner operator, right? It's really easy to get kind of sidetracked in just every single day-to-day thing and not to zoom out, right? As we've always talked, not to zoom out and actually talk about the business and really make sure that you're tracking KPIs. I think everybody has that intention when they start. I think everybody builds a version of their own blueprint or their own business plan initially, whether that's super complex or not. I think generally everybody starts with something, but a lot of times it's not something you come back to. You initially in your business plan, you build out a model, you build out general thoughts of KPIs that would be helpful to track. And then you don't track them. You don't kind of learn from them. You don't understand, you know, well, why is this? No one's really asking you either. Like, hey, you're not hitting this. Why not? And like having to respond, or at least having that dialogue together. So I will say, I think just having some business partners is helpful, but which I also think where a lot of other business owners can get help there is just what has really done well. What you have done well in setting up too is like mastermind groups for owners, for entrepreneurs, because it helps act like that for a lot of business owners that are sole business owners, no business partners, is that ability to like be able to talk about the business, to have other people check you from an accountability. Mm-hmm. So I think that's been super helpful for us, and it allowed us to actually stay a little bit more to our plan and to make changes along the way when we need them based upon different metrics not being hit. Or obviously, if profitability, for example, is not there, it's one thing for an owner to swallow that. It's another for their business partners to say, hey, what the hell? Right.
Yeah.
And for you to be like, all right, instead of a back, you know, things that sometimes become back burner items, or I'll think about that next quarter, or I'll think about that when I get to it, become, hey, I need to think about this stuff now. And we need to make decisions that like lead to better results now instead of later.
That's so true. Just to pull on a couple of threads there that you mentioned, and it's not a surprise that you mentioned this, because you and I have had plenty of just side personal conversations about this being a very strategic advantage. And yet, here's the interesting thing. You guys at Club Cab have worked with thousands now of business owners, and the vast majority of them are sole owners, right? And what I mean by that, not solopreneurs, but they're the only one that has the equity in the business. You have the strategic advantage of having other people that have equity and are holding you accountable, but you're also holding them accountable for what they need to do. Okay, here's the question. Somebody may be listening to this and say, well, I'm an insurance agency owner. I'm not going to go out and just bring in another equity partner per se. What is the thing that somebody can do, even if they don't have a third share, right, with other people, that they can get the advantage that you have been able to have in their business without necessarily having to give up the equity? Does that make sense? How do I get that without having other equity partners?
I mean, the first thing I would say, definitely don't give away that equity. Obviously, to a degree, definitely not my stance on business, but I would say, especially in the insurance business, just in terms of what the like cap is on revenue and also what the strategic advantage of giving away equity would be. But in terms of what it gives you, you can mirror in some other things, or at least some practices. And one of them is just the way in which you look at your business and your financials too. And one of the reasons why Club Capital was created was kind of around this, is to bring your financials to the decision-making table. a lot of times people don't. And what we find is a lot of the decisions that are being made because of personal reasons instead of business reasons. Where, especially like in a situation where you have partners, it's much easier to separate business and personal. Because from the business side, when you're talking with partners, you're looking at metrics, you're looking at financials, you need to make decisions. What I need to do or what somebody else needs to do that's going on in their personal life. I mean, yes, we all like and respect each other, but like, hey, that doesn't matter. It's like, what does the business need and what's good for the business? I think we need to do that versus what I need to do personally, or, hey, I need an extra 10K this month, or I need an extra 20K this month. A lot of times what can happen with small businesses that don't have partners that, you know, are just control of that, they won't make the right business decision that needs to be made because they'd rather take out and make a decision personally for something, to which I totally understand. But I just think that's an area that people can get caught in. Instead of example that would happen with partners, you say, you know, the immediate thought would be like, hey, we've got a $100,000 line of credit for a reason. If we need, let's use that for the business then if we need to, instead of just putting a decision off. So I did say the first thing is just around the importance that you bring to your financials, allow them to be a seat around the table to help you make decisions. That's like the thing we always say is bring your financials to the decision-making table so that you're literally consulting them. Especially firms like ours, what we try and do, we're not trying to just be like some bookkeeper. We're trying to be like that partner that is going to help you answer those questions. Like, hey, should I be doing this? Like, hey, we're not your partner, which is a benefit to you, right? We're not taking equity. But we're one of the ones that can help answer that when a lot of other people that are sitting around you typically aren't the ones that are helping to be that resource for you.
That makes sense. I love that. Before we move to some of the other things you mentioned, and I kind of want to move into KPIs tracking and how you guys have been able to kind of keep score in the in your own business. What does that look like? Maybe the cadence around tracking and the communication around some of those metrics. Let me ask you, what has been the cadence for you all to get together? As you mentioned, you said zoom out. We would obviously say get above it, right? You've zoomed out to be able to get above the business. What's the cadence that has worked for you guys? Is that a monthly thing? Is that a quarterly thing? What has worked for you guys to be able to kind of zoom out and be able to come together and even bring the financials to the table?
So we have a couple like different cadences. So we do, as partners for the last, you know, almost 10 years now, we have met once a week. I would say generally speaking, without fail, obviously holidays and yada yada, but like every week we meet to discuss the business, discuss where we are. Now, some of them, when you meet weekly, I mean, you're not getting into absolutely everything, but with the pace that we've tried to grow, as well as different verticals we're getting into, different key personnel we're trying to get to over the years, yada, yada, there's always something to talk about. So it's not necessarily like we always have the exact same agenda every week, but like, hey, what are the pressing items that we need to either discuss or inform people about of what's going on? Monthly financial reviews, and then quarterly strategic planning sessions. Mm-hmm. And the only one that generally is, that we always make sure is in person, is quarterly. So we always get together for like a true day in person and go out to dinner and things like that, right? You know, just like really be able to take the time away to review the business, think much more strategically. It's not a lot of like financial review because we're already doing that every month, right? You're not like as much in the minutiae as you are trying to identify, like, are we on track for like what this year's goals were? And are we thinking about and being able to position ourselves for what we want to do 2 to 3 years down the line?
Yeah.
Those are really the quarterly planning sessions where we're trying to even spitball bigger ideas as well. And obviously if things are bad, we're off, we're really trying to dive in together to understand how do we solve those. And then, yeah, financial review stuff is, as you can imagine, a firm like ours, but we're very much into that and diving into the numbers or looking at very specifically like our models, right? So like getting a little bit into the KPIs stuff, but like, what are our financials? Do we feel they're healthy, but also are percentages in certain areas where we want them to be?
We're recording this at the end of 25. So I mean, we just ran the annual planning workshop, and it's this time of the year in the next few weeks that every business owner is starting to do some level of reflection, but more importantly, beginning to project into the next year. Now having 10 years of experience with this, what are the things that you all have learned in going in and setting projections into the next year to both balance optimism, not being Excel multimillionaires, okay, only, but also being able to match that with the resources being both dollars, but then also people capacity to hit that? Because I'm sure that there has been years that you've gone into a year and said, here's our projections, and woefully underperformed. And then I bet there's been years you could look at and say, wow, we went into this with this forecast and these projections, and we exceeded it way more than we ever thought. But along the time, you start to kind of augment things down into some level of being able to predict a little bit better. You get a little bit better at predictions. It's like weather, right? Maybe weather's a bad example, but I was going to say they get a little bit better with predictions with weather. You get what I'm saying? But what have you guys learned so that you just don't go in there, guns a-blazing, hey, we're going to grow 42% this year, you know, with absolutely no plan on how we're going to do that. But that's just our optimism, right? I mean, how have you guys thought through that?
We've obviously gotten better at it over time, which is good. But a lot of it is, so I would say for annual planning too, I think one of the things that's been helpful for us is not just worrying about annual planning. You're doing this a lot throughout the year. So if you're really on top of your financials and really just the business model, I think the way you should, when you're doing financials on a monthly or even quarterly basis, some of that financial review should already be looking at and adjusting some of your forecast for what's ahead, right? So that you're not always comparing to what might be, because what happens a lot of times, you set an initial budget, you get a month, 2 months, 3 months in, you realize, okay, like some of my assumptions were wrong, because budgets are made on assumptions. So as you're going through, things are changing. You want to be able to reflect back to the original budget, but that's the difference between a budget and a forecast. A budget is kind of something that you initially set for, say, 12 months at a time, 12 months, 24 months at a time. But then what you're doing monthly and quarterly is you're adjusting that forecast, because all of a sudden you start to have a different forecast than your budget. Again, it's very rare that it's just like, yep, we hit every single thing, and every single thing that we thought would happen, and et cetera, from the revenue side and the expense side. It's like, no way. There's no chance that happens. The forecast is like always changing. So there comes a time where you might want to say, look, there's enough change in the forecast that I need to change my budget, or I need to set my forecast as my new budget. There's no sense in comparing to something that's totally changed now. So for us, not that we're constantly changing the targets, but we're adapting to the reality that's in front of us and making sure that we understand that so that we're making better decisions. We're not making decisions based upon an old, maybe outdated budget. We're making decisions based upon the data that we know and what we can see as our roadmap. So in terms of planning ahead, there is one time of year that you're more heavily focused on, like, what does next year or next 2 years look like? But for us, we also want to make sure that we're reviewing the reality of that on a monthly and quarterly basis so we can make adjustments. What can happen a lot of times is say, no, the list was in my budget. It's like, yeah, but things change. So you should probably put things so that you don't run off a cliff.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Are you struggling to turn clicks into clients and grow your business with confidence? Well, DirectClicks has helped over 1,000 businesses increase their lead volume by an average of 300%. Built by business owners for business owners, DirectClicks specializes in custom marketing solutions that deliver real results. From paid search campaigns and performance max to SEO and social media management, they provide the comprehensive digital marketing your business needs to grow. Here's an exclusive offer for our listeners to the Above the Business podcast. If you visit directclicksinc.com/above the business, you'll get a free marketing campaign audit. They'll assess your website, social media, SEO, content, and paid advertising. Then they'll provide actionable recommendations. Plus, when you choose to partner with them, they'll waive all your setup fees. Don't miss this opportunity to grow your business with proven marketing strategies with DirectClicks. DirectClicksinc.com/above the business. Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, I think annual planning, while we do it, and heck, we'll do it next year as one of our workshops. I mean, arguably, I personally think setting a three-year vision is really important, but I think more importantly is the quarterly rhythm, the quarterly world that you live in, because it allows you to set those adjustments. And obviously with you guys having the quarterly strategic planning embedded into, like, this is just the cadence that we're going to review some of these things. And even the monthly financial reviews, you start to kind of course correct, no different than a plane taking off from New York. And once it gets into altitude, I mean, it doesn't just set its coordinates to LA and say, okay, well, we're just about to fly in a just dead straight line to get there. No, I mean, it's going around weather and all these other kind of things. And the same thing is going to be true in the business. I'm curious around kind of reflecting, what were some of the maybe inflection points that you look back over the years that really kind of begin to kind of set things into motion, whether that's a marketing channel, strategy, connections made along the way. I mean, things like that, that you feel like, hey, this was maybe intentionally or in some cases unintentionally part of our blueprint to be able to get there. But boy, reflecting, that was a big moment for us.
I think the first one is one of the ones that's a little bit more, I would say, I guess, typical or cliche, is when you, the owners, me, gets out of being the direct operator, which was 8 years ago, right? But I think from our side, we always wanted to do more of a bootstrap business. And when you do that, you do it not just to say you're doing a bootstrap business, but you're also doing it typically because you don't want to give up equity, right? So you're not like trying to give up equity for a windfall of cash or investment that allows you to like staff up immediately. So we didn't. I was doing everything. I joke that I'd get a phone call and I'd be support. I'd be sales. I'd be support. They want to talk to payroll. I'd put them on hold and spin around in the chair and talk in a different accent, right? And it was very much just like all hands on deck. Like you, I was doing like everything, you know, obviously for like the first 20 clients. And then it was starting to scale, right? Starting to replace myself in areas. And so especially the one for me, that was the best, obviously, from an operations perspective, bringing in people that are being the accountants, being the advisors, right, is obviously huge. But I would say the biggest one there in terms of replacing myself is bringing in an incredible salesperson so that I am very much not even responsible, or still responsible, but for the day-to-day on sales, right? And which I see especially obviously in insurance, which is like these sales powerhouses, right? When that owner is still like the primary contributor of sales, that's hard. Because if that's the case and you haven't replaced yourself with someone like good enough to like hold that, you go through this trade-off in your head and like, well, I can't spend time on the business because now there's a void in the business.
Yeah.
And revenue starts to drop. Right. So being able to do that and understanding the impact possibly to profitability in the short term, because that's where people get stuck in scaling. It's like, well, if I bring someone in, I'm not profitable or very much less right now.
Yep.
So you need to build that out and know what that looks like over time to say, yeah, I'm going to be less profitable for X period. But as long as they're hitting these metrics, then by whatever month, things should be on the up. And you got to be able to trust that and commit to it, but also track those metrics. Because if they're not hitting those metrics and you don't hold them accountable to them and you just keep them on, and you know, you're just stuck in a bad cycle too. So you got to just know the math behind it, see the vision, see the forecast, and be able to do it. So, I mean, the first one is obviously just replace it. For me, it was very much replacing myself from the sales side that allowed me to definitely be more of the overseer of all of the operations.
Yeah, I mean, that is so true. That's why we talk so much about, whether it's on the podcast or overall, we really just love the concept of the Rule of 40, because it's the balancing of the growth that you want to have in the business and profitability. And to your point, hey, if you want to be able to grow, you have to make investments typically in two areas, marketing and people. And so when you make that investment in that salesperson or the, you know, customer service person, whatever that may be, these are investments you have to be able to make. And I think actually profitability is a prerequisite for that growth, because, hey, I'm now making a conscious decision to give up some of this profitability in the short term to be able to make the investments in the growth. And you've been able to do that quite a bit. And I think one of the things, Micah, that I, in knowing you for as gosh, I don't know how long we've known each other now, but just over the years, watching you personally operate, you've never really held on to something white-knuckled, a specific role or responsibility. You've been willing to kind of freely give that up. I know that there may be other things that have been harder for you to give up than some, but you've always been really open to shifting that and hiring someone else to do that thing so you could continue to level up. I mean, I think you're one of the best examples that I personally know that, you know, got a few hundred thousand dollar company, you get to a million and go on, but you personally, and I know your other partners have done this as well, but I just have gotten to know you more over the years. You leveled up and then the company followed, and then you leveled up again and the company followed. I mean, I don't think it's that outlandish to say 10 years ago, you were not the CEO business owner that you are today. Okay. And you've leveled up every step of the way. What is your thoughts, A, around that as you reflect, as my son would say, here I am glazing you a little bit. And I don't intend to do that, okay? When we end up hitting record, then I'll bust you a little bit on some stuff. But no, seriously, what does that look like for you in continuing to develop yourself and let go of certain things so you could continue to level up over time?
First off, very generous. I can definitely agree and say, admit, you know, that I am not the CEO that I was 10 years ago. And I hope 10 years from now, I'm a very different person as well. I very much know that I have a lot to learn, and business teaches you that very quickly. You're always learning something. And in terms of being able to give things up, I just very much follow the school of thought that I want to hire people that are way better at me at the things that we need in the company. And we need specialists in areas. And I think I'm generally good at some things, but I would consider myself a generalist, right? And I'm very happy in that role to be able to, like, I can focus in and like on a certain subject and be able to understand it pretty well and can even execute a bit there. But I know that's not my whole focus. Like, I need to be able to understand it, know it really well, maybe to help stand up some processes. And then I need to bring somebody in that's ultimately probably better at it than I am to lead that so that I can pull out and then go focus somewhere else. I mean, for me, it's definitely something where maybe some leaders can do this. Like, I can't give so much attention on every single aspect of the business all the time. So all of the business gets some of me. And there are times where I give some parts of the business a lot of me or all of me, right? The ones that, yeah. But ultimately, depending on where my time is, that's the number one area that I know I need someone else, or either someone that maybe there's a person today that either needs to develop or something, or we need someone else, because wherever most of my focus is the immediate identifier of I need someone else stronger in this area. And no, we can't maybe always afford that, but it's a, okay, great. That now I know that's the area, because if I'm spending whatever, like any majority of my time somewhere, I probably need someone else doing that. Cause like a majority of my time shouldn't be in one area.
Yeah.
I need to be to help support the entire business. So if more than 50% of my time or whatever that number is, right? But like, if you know, and you'll know, if you say, like, you do a time audit of your week, I am constantly here, that's where you need help. That's where there needs to be some clear change in the business, because you shouldn't have that much of your time in one specific area.
I think doing a time audit, I mean, we've talked about it before. I mean, it's one of those things. It's like some of these books that we all, you know, have on our shelves, but we haven't read yet. Doing a time audit, I mean, is one of the things that's in the book from Drucker, The Effective Executive. I mean, one of the best books that you can read. He talks about, I don't think he calls it a time audit, but he basically says doing a time study, because you got to figure out, where's your time actually going? And is it going to the things that actually grow the business? And most of the time, it is going to anything but the things that actually grow the business. And so we have to align those efforts to do that. Micah, we've obviously had you on to talk about a lot of different things. And look, clearly, you guys are going to continue to go on. This is not the end of the journey by no means, but it's, I appreciate you reflecting just a little bit with us. Hey, people want to know more about Club Capital, what you guys do. Where would you point them to?
I would say just direct to our website, club.capital. Follow us definitely on social media, on Facebook and Instagram. It's interesting, the evolution of kind of what we're doing. It's interesting now getting into some new verticals, staying very true to just a couple niche verticals here. We've excelled in insurance for the past 10 years, but even for the past year and a half, we've launched into sports, which has been really fun. And also, it seems very random, but also just really nice. Insurance agencies are very community-based and really build themselves up within their community. And then we happen to jump into youth sports, which is like an amazing like tie-in to community as well. And being able to like kind of double down on helping to just helping like communities around the country, like have a better footing, grow, impact the kids in a different area. And then now some of the fun stuff that especially we'll be getting into this year is starting to build some of our own technology. So we've never been that before. We're a professional services company at heart, right? We use a lot of really cool technology that allows us to do things, I think, differently than others. But now we're going to start to build some of our own, especially in the realm of AI. And, I think it just goes a lot towards what I think a lot of business owners need today in terms of that ability to check themselves, that ability to like ask their financials questions. It was very much in line with where AI technology is and like AI chatbots are today is how can we build something in that is directly tapped into the financials for the business owner?
Yeah.
Especially because, not to replace us by any means, right? I don't think, and we would have a larger discussion about AI and the accounting and CFO space, but not to replace us, but to add more value to accurate financials. And so accurate financials has to come first, but especially from the business owner, you can relate a lot of, you've had meetings with your team on your financials and build in forecasts and things like that. But when, as the business owner, do most of your questions have the thoughts happen? One, they happen off the call with your accountant.
Mm-hmm.
Two, they happen at like either 5 a.m. or in the shower at 10 p.m. And a lot of times that's when you have the questions of like, I wonder how much I'm spending on this. What was my profitability last month? Or how did it compare to last year? If we can put that into your hand as a chatbot that just goes directly into your financials and it can just like talk with Xero, which is what we use as the accounting software, and it can just pull all of that because it's tapped. There's just so much more value in terms of giving you access to the data that you want more real time, that you can then bring a lot of that and may help you make decisions more in real time.
Yeah, sure.
Financials, and just make it even that more valuable when you get on the phone with us or your accountants or whoever it is you're working for. So we're working with. So that's some stuff that we're looking forward to this year. It's called like our CFO agent is like what we're doing. So
that's awesome. Yeah. I agree with you. Some people really get up early in the morning. Some people are night owls. If you get up at 5:15 and you're doing some sort of a planning or looking at certain things and it's on your mind, well, you're not going to reach out to somebody at 5 o'clock in the morning. But if you had that in your hands to be able to get some of that information, to be able to make better decisions into the business this month, this quarter, this year.
Yeah. Real time. But we're so used to real time data now. Everybody's expecting answers quickly. And this needs to be an area that has answers quickly, right? You shouldn't always need to wait on an email response or phone call, which sounds silly, right? But we expect it. And so I think financials haven't been there yet, right? In terms of just like immediate access, immediate understanding, question, response, stuff like that. And I think we can build that.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's exciting. Well, as that gets released, we'll have you back on. We're doing a cash flow and profit planning workshop and scheduled for late 2026 at the time of this recording. And so it'd be cool to kind of see where things are at that point. Micah, appreciate you coming on.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Robert.
Well, this is the first time that we've actually had Micah to come on the podcast and talk about the things that they've done over time with Club Capital to be able to, what was the blueprint they followed to be able to actually grow their business. They've had a tremendous amount of success. And obviously, you don't have a lot of success and continued success unless the things that you're doing for small business owners are actually working and getting traction. But there were a few things. Obviously, I think the cadence that his leadership team meets, the commitment to meet weekly, having the monthly financial reviews and the quarterly strategic planning. And just for me to add my own flavor to that, many of you listening to this are not going to have other business partners that you're meeting with in that cadence. However, whether it's in a group of other business owners in a mastermind format that you're getting together weekly or ever so often, to be able to be in a room with other people that you're actually sharing some of these things. And then just having the discipline to get out yourself to plan on a quarterly basis, having the monthly financial reviews. If you're working with, say you're working with Club Capital, to get your monthly financials, you know, by the 15th or 20th of every month, and then review that with your financial advisor, not your investment advisor, but your bookkeeping advisor, I think is a discipline and a cadence that makes a lot of sense. The second thing that he really mentioned a lot was whenever he was talking about himself, getting out of not just being the operator of doing all of the things, but really sitting and replacing himself in some of the roles. And he said, obviously, one of the key roles was being a salesperson. Now, for some people listening to this, that is easier said than to actually do it. Some of you really love sales and enjoy sales. And so getting and backing yourself, replacing yourself with a salesperson is challenging. With Mike, it was a little bit easier. That's not something that was really in his skill set, so it was easier to do. But there are other areas that has been harder for him and harder for other business owners. So whatever that is, the thing that you're holding on to the most, whether that's sales or the marketing aspect of it, or maybe even the functional, in Club Capital's case, the functional accounting aspect of it, I think doing that time audit, if you've not read The Effective Executive from Peter Drucker, he actually talks about doing a time study and having an awareness of where the time is going. So I think those are two of my biggest takeaways with Micah. Go to club.capital, book a no obligation demo with somebody on the team, and they'll reach out to you and help you to get the right cadence. I think his line when we talked about bringing financials to the decision-making table was excellent. I want to give a shout out to our podcast partners, Autopilot Recruiting, Coach P Consulting, and DirectClicks. Go to directclicksinc.com/above the business, directclicksinc.com/above the business. Going into this 2026, making the investments in both people, but also in marketing is key to being able to grow the business. But in the world of Google, and especially now with AI, it is challenging to know. I mean, I was actually on the phone yesterday with a business owner that was just kind of overwhelmed with like all the Google stuff is challenging. And he was doing a lot of things with his website, whether that's blog post, et cetera, send them over to DirectClicks. They talk to him. Those are the areas that they specifically know. So go to directclicksinc.com/above the business. Similarly to your marketing, one of the other big investments that you'll have to make this year is going to be with people. And we always talk of business owners that always be recruiting. Well, it sounds good in theory, but it's difficult to actually execute on that. But if you work with Autopilot Recruiting, you'll get a dedicated recruiter that's going to help you to always be recruiting, somebody that's always going to be looking for that next right person to bring on your team. So go to autopilotrecruiting.com. autopilotrecruiting.com. We talked a lot about personal and professional development. It's difficult to find a place where you can develop yourself, but and also give your team members the development that they need. But you get both with Coach P. So go to coachpconsulting.com, coachpconsulting.com. You will be in a group of other insurance agency owners trying to do the same thing that you've done. And then they're going to give you a behind the scenes look about what David has done with his insurance agency to grow and scale it to 3 locations at a level that is really some of the top in the country, but also a place for your team members to be able to learn from other people as well. So go to coachpconsulting.com, coachpconsulting.com. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. Until next time, lead well and go be great.